Just before we dig into the driver's voicemail, who has taken exception with my teaching on the account of the rich man and Lazarus, I want to take a few minutes to respond to Gregory. I couldn't quite make out the last name, but Gregory asked one of those questions that moves my pastor's heart. As much as I want to tear into the theological response to the driver that has disagreed with my previous teachings, Gregory's call trumps everything. And that's because he's asking a question from the heart, and he's looking for solutions to fulfilling the Great Commission. So, first we take the time to respond to that. Here's Gregory's call.
Hello, this is Gregory Hubbard from St. Joseph, Michigan. I'm a truck driver, and I've been so for about 8 months now, and picked up your CD, and I just think it's the greatest thing ever. I've never experienced church this way before, but I actually called because I have a question. I wanted to know, how do we deal with, as believers, how do we deal with atheists and people who are bothered by our faith, especially when we're trying to evangelize? I just wanted to know if some light could be shed on the subject. It's hard for me to relate to someone when they just don't want to hear anything. You bring up the Lord and they become defensive. Anyway, I think it's a good question, and I hope it does get on the air. Have a blessed day. Bye.
Gregory, I am moved as I hear you speak. I hear the sincerity of your heart in this question, and that's what moves me. I pray that you never, ever lose this desire to connect the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We need so many more of you. You know, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you are one of those few. I am privileged to respond to this question. Now, I'm not going to be able to do real justice to it, not the justice that it deserves in our time frame here. But let me try to address just a few things and then suggest a course of action that might help you. What I want to address is that when we begin to consider how we're going to approach an atheist, we would do well to remember that there is an immediate dilemma inside the spirit of the one that claims there is no God. Now, this is not an indictment, or it's not intended to be mean-spirited or judgmental. I only say this because the Word of God tells us that people actually do know that God exists. Listen to this short portion of Romans from chapter 1.
For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, His eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things He has made. So they are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened.
So despite the upfront resistance that you receive when you talk about the Lord, or even suggest His existence, just know that in the deepest areas of a person's heart, there is an awareness that God exists. And even more, there is a desire to connect with a purpose in life and a reason for their existence. And then there is always the great question, what happens when we die? All of those things are still swimming around inside of the atheist. They just don't want to bring them out to the surface and really deal with them. And so I respond to you with this before I suggest a course of action for you to consider. No matter the response or the rejection, regardless of the denials of a creator, there remains a place that longs to be touched with real truth. Our job could be categorized in many ways, but I will give you just three areas here to work out. Number one, never sell short the work of the Holy Spirit through you in your encounters with others. They're watching. They are secretly longing to find true peace. The Word of God tells us that one will plant and one will water and so forth. And while you may never see the fruit of your efforts on this side of heaven, You're going to be quite pleased to hear the testimonies on heaven's side that include the seed that you planted or the watering of an already planted seed in somebody's life. I'm speaking metaphorically here. Number two, we can win the argument and yet miss reaching the goal of changing a heart and a mind. I believe that the most effective testimony is our life's example. And while we're waiting for these opportunities to verbalize a reason for the hope that resides inside of us, people are watching. There's that saying that goes, "Preach the gospel at all times and use words when necessary." When you do have these conversations with someone, such as an atheist or even some other religion, remember that nothing trumps the Word of God. And if you are communicating the love of God to others in your conversations, then the Word of God will not return to him void. It will accomplish its purpose. Now, that's not to suggest that everything we say must be a quote of chapter and verse. Just need to make sure we're communicating the gospel. But knowing some key scriptures by heart and working them into the conversation releases the power of God's Word, and that is unmatched in terms of effectiveness. Number three, equip yourself. This is a lifetime endeavor. Paul instructed Timothy to study in order to be approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. That tells me the Word of God can be correctly divided and discerned. So we better know God's Word, and the better we know it, the more we are equipped. And then there is this word that I want to give you, apologetics. Now, perhaps you're familiar with it, and perhaps not. If not, search it out, apologetics. The Apostle Paul said that he became all things to all people in order that he might win some. And this was not a statement that he became wishy-washy. And we shouldn't either. We should remain firm in our beliefs. But rather, Paul made it a point to understand that the things others believed were important for him to understand too, so he could identify with them. We've come to a place in the history of mankind that the philosophical has blended with the existential and the hedonistic. This and more can be summed up in the term postmodernism. So, our ability to understand a little philosophy, or why an evolutionist is convinced that Darwin was correct, are just a few examples of the things that we need to be at least moderately versed in. It's the very best way to help someone understand why their belief system is flawed. I think it's important to understand at least the basics of other religious systems, too. You see, when we can communicate on a level that says, "I'm familiar with what you believe," then we open the door up for the art of apologetics. And more than that, the ministry of apologetics. So, Gregory, here's the course of action I'm challenging you to. I want you to become familiar with the great apologist, Ravi Zacharias. That's R-A-V-I. Ravi Zacharias. His ministry is worldwide, and he puts out two separate podcasts on iTunes that are free of charge. Or you can get some of his books if you're a reader. The ministry website is RZIM. Those are all letters. RZIM.org. There are also scores of YouTube videos of Ravi Zacharias that are available. If you want to connect with the atheist, then I strongly recommend that you devote time into building your skill level at the feet of a true master of apologetics, and that would be Ravi Zacharias. And speaking of masters, a little prayer to the master of the universe, Jesus Christ, never hurts either. For me, that prayer always includes asking for Holy Spirit impartation to find the right words to speak. On the surface, people may reject your attempts to share the love of God with them and the good news of Jesus Christ. But never lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit will continue to do the work in their hearts long after your conversation has ended. Keep the faith, Gregory. Continue to battle and continue to trust that God will do his part too.